The first reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 47 will serve as the sermon text this morning. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with a sword or a spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand."
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again as I read just a couple sections from one verse of our text. "Today the Lord will hand you over to me. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel." This is the word of our God. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what a battle. What a story to be able to tell, the story of David and Goliath. It's the favorite of so many. One of my children, always when it's time for family devotions, would bring that little child's Bible and say, "Open up to Goliath. Let me see the giant. Let me see the giant." Not just for kids, though. Think of all of the famous artists who have made such beautiful art depicting this story, from Michelangelo to Donatello in Florence to Bernini in Rome. People love to tell this story, to depict this story. Let me see the giant. Ah, David and Goliath. But who was the giant of this story? Was it Goliath, that 9 feet 6 inch tall giant, a battle-tested warrior whose armor and weapons alone perhaps weighed more than his opponent David himself? Or was the real giant David, with his courage and his determination, his confidence? No, the true giant of this story was David's God, the Lord. And David made sure that all, the giant down in the valley below, Goliath, and the host of the army of the Philistia, and all of the ranks of Israel behind him, as well as all the earth, even still today, all would know the real giant of this account. There is a God in Israel. And we receive the victory, and he receives the glory. The account begins as we understand. Philistia was lined up on one side of a valley as Israel was lined up on the other. And this champion, this great warrior Goliath, descends into that valley and speaks his accusations against the people of Israel. He defied those ranks of Israel. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. Goliath didn't need to talk the talk. He could walk the walk. 9 feet 6 inches. They were terrified just at that. But then he did talk the talk, and that went on for 40 days, mocking Israel, because there was no one strong enough, courageous enough to face him. And understand, these Israelites, these were warriors and soldiers themselves. They were familiar with battle. They were not afraid to go into war. And yet now their hearts melt. They have lost all courage, filled with fear. All was lost, so they thought. Beyond their own courage, it was the nation of Israel that was at stake. This soldier was going to go up against any soldier from Israel, And the loser would lose not just for himself, but the entire nation would fall. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our servants, and you will serve us. No, it was not just the glory of one individual at stake, or even the glory of an entire nation. It was the glory of the name of the Lord itself at stake, and the people of God, the promised Savior, that covenant people, enslaved to serve another again. And they had lost all hope, with no one to deliver them. Perhaps we know the feeling. Yes, servants of the Lord God. And yet we see sin and the temptation to sin, and our hearts melt too, because we know that even though we are children of God, we are a part of His family, we're no match for these temptations, these tricks of the devil. And all is lost. Not just our reputation when we fall into sin, not just the faithfulness to our God, not just the shame and the guilt that compounds, but death. That's what we merit by our sins, and hell. That's the eternal result of them. Enslaved to sin and destined to hell for all eternity. We know the feeling. It's easy to lose hope, thinking that there is no one to deliver us. Ah, but there was. There was for Israel. A young man, David, a shepherd boy, stepped forward in the ranks of Israel. But before we be tempted to give the glory and honor to one individual, David, who went off to fight Goliath, perhaps it's important for us to draw a few parallels between David and the one for whom he was a type, Jesus, in our gospel lesson. Parallels, when highlighted, will help us to see the victory that our Savior has provided for us as well. A challenger came out. That's what happened for Israel. A challenger came out, Goliath, a giant of a man. Not someone large and clumsy and easy to overcome. No, he was a warrior from youth. The most formidable foe. A true warrior whose size and strength was matched by his agility and skill and his experience. A challenger came out. So also against us. And against our greater champion, Jesus. A challenger came out, Satan, a fierce enemy of God, not someone foolish and easily turned away, cunning and crafty, who leads the whole world astray, battle-tested, having proven his strength, his achievements so many times as he fooled his foes, so many times misled. But in steps the one who will be the substitute, David. No armor to protect him. No experience with it. He puts it on only to weigh him down more. He had no sword to match Goliath's. So the one for whom he is a type, Jesus, steps forward to that challenger. Weak and weary from 40 days of fasting, vulnerable to the attacks of Satan with no earthly defense. And yet the victory belonged to David. But was it his skill and strength? Was it his deftness and speed? No. It was his Lord. He had perfect trust in his Lord. So our champion does the same. Our substitute, Jesus. He doesn't rely on his glory and power as the Son of God. In fact, that was even one of the temptations against him. You are God. You can turn these stones to bread. You don't need this hunger. But he didn't. He didn't overcome this foe with his divine power. No, the victory was his because of his perfect trust in his God. It is written, the Lord says. So Goliath thought that he was battling against a mere man. But he was not. This was not just any ordinary army. And Goliath wasn't just battling the representative of that army, David. This was not just some regular nation, these ranks of soldiers. They fought for the ranks of the living God. Goliath boasted, "I defy the ranks of Israel today." David responded, "He has defied the ranks of the living God." And David knew. David had confidence that the Lord was going to win this victory. Yes, victory not just for David, not just for that special nation, but for the sake of his own name. All the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel. And that God was going to win the victory. So our God wins the victory for us. We see Jesus come down to earth to do battle. The battle belongs to him, the victory. The victory is won by him, but it is for our sake. Satan was routed. On the cross, his head was crushed. Jesus defeated him, but the victory was for us. Free from sin, free from death, never to serve another. And not just for the sake of our reputation, for the faithfulness to our God, to remove the guilt and the shame of our sin, but to deliver us from death and to restore us for eternal life with him in heaven. There is a God in Israel, and the victory is won for our sake. Dear friends, when you face your foes, remember, there is a God in Israel, and that God is your God. That God is your Savior to win the victory for you. Now let's take a closer look at David as well. He knew very well the reason for his great victory. Even before the victory was won, he knew where it would come from. "Today, the Lord will hand you over to me," he said. David's strength didn't hand Goliath over to David. David's skill and agility were not the cause of his victory. And even David's courage wasn't that which brought him success. By comparison, look at the weapons that David mentions David and Goliath had. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin.'" And think of that spear. The tip of it alone was 15 pounds. And yet, what did David counter it with? "I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied." Of course, David went in with a sling and stones. But does he make reference to that? Not at all. What was it that he was going in with? He was going in with the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, that one who was his champion too. He doesn't give credit to any of his skill or the weapons that he held. No, his greatest weapon, the only weapon, the source of his victory and the credit and the glory of that victory belongs solely to the Lord. No matter what David carried into battle, no matter how much skill he brought or used, it was the Lord and the Lord alone who received the glory for this victory. So he repeated that truth again so that this Philistine warrior would know, "All those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear. For the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand." We see this time and again in the battles of Scripture. From Egypt and the Red Sea, where God gave a mighty victory, just as Israel stood back and watched as he divided those seas. To Jericho and the walls that came crumbling down just by trumpets and marching around the city. To Gideon, whose fighting force was reduced from 32,000, not even to 10,000, still the glory would go to the army, down to 300. So that God said, "By this you will know that God is the one delivering this victory." To King Jehoshaphat in Judah, against the hordes of Moab and Ammon and Seir, a small company of Judah sang songs of praise to God in the valley of Berakah, while their enemies slaughtered each other. All of these show that the glory is the Lord's. He accomplished all of these great victories for them. As David says, the battle belongs to the Lord. And the whole world knows there is a God in Israel. And the glory for the victory is His. Friends, how many examples do you need of the evidence that this God of Israel, this triune God, our God, is true, exists? How many signs of proof can He give to demonstrate that He is our champion, that He wins the victory for us? Must He be born in the flesh to do battle against Satan on earth? He did that. Must He be tempted in the wilderness and overcome, never sinning in His life? He did that. Must He die on the cross? Must He rise from the dead and ascend to the right hand of God to rule all things? He did that. He has done it all. What more proof do we need? There is a God in Israel. By all of these things, all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. Well, now this is an important truth for us to consider as well, this victory of David over Goliath. It's not strength, even of faith, that receives the credit for our salvation. Just as much as it's not the works that we do to win the victory over death and hell. The credit for that goes to the Lord. Yet how often don't we trust our own strength? We want to bring our weapons into the fight. I'm strong enough. I can do battle against Satan on my own. I am righteous. I try to be good and do right. And yet just as all the armor that Saul put on David weighed him down, so our own righteousness that we try to bring into the fight only weighs us down and makes us more vulnerable to Satan's attacks. They make it impossible, in fact. The armor that we wear, our righteousness, has so many holes. It doesn't protect us in the face of God's justice. The enemy will find those holes and attack us. So many weaknesses we have, so many vices and sins. But I'm a good Christian, we cry. But that's not what wins the battle for us. But then we say, but I have faith. I have faith in my God, and that's what gives me that victory. That's what gives me my strength. Well, even the faith itself, even the work of faith is not something that we accomplish. This too, this even is the work of our Lord. He receives the credit for that who has brought me to faith and called me by that gospel. David's courage, where did it come from? Was he so bold or so proud? No, the Lord. The Lord granted him that confidence. The Lord, he said, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So our righteousness weighs us down, and even the confidence in our own faith weighs us down. But when we are completely disarmed, void of any credit, of any glory, and any righteous works that we can bring, or even our own faith and confidence, then we are armed and equipped with the full credit, the full confidence, the full glory for the one to whom it belongs, the Lord, who has won the victory for us. The glory belongs to Him. This is the giant of the account of David and Goliath. This God is. This God exists. And this God is our God. This God is our champion, our warrior, the one who goes off to fight for us as our substitute. And the battle belongs to Him. The victory is for us. As our substitute, He goes off to fight and to win so that we might have freedom and that we might have peace with God. And then the glory belongs to Him. Truly the great one of this story, it's God, the champion of every account in Scripture. He's the one who saves. He is the one that delivers. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.